Hey friends, I'm so glad you're back for another episode of Justice for All. This week's episode is one that I am so excited for you to listen to. When we talk about justice and justice work, we tend to not think of those who are doing the work behind the scenes. My friend Sharonda Williams is the Development Director at Open Door Ministries. Open Door provides support for those who are needing stability, practical help, and spiritual hope. They do this through housing, youth programs, leadership development like transitional employment, outreach programs like a drop-in center for those experiencing homelessness, and disability outreach. Sharonda heads up all of the development work for Open Door, which is many things in many different capacities, which you will hear more about from her. Development work is most definitely part of justice work. It is building a stable foundation financially and spiritually for those who are wanting to give to a mission, but then also for those who may be on the margins. So, welcome to the show, Sharonda.
Thank you, Kenzie. It's good to be here.
It's great to have
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, before we get started, I ask the same question to everyone per usual.
Okay.
When did you first know you wanted to do the work that you do?
Great question. I used to want to get into law. That was going to be my life. I had my life mapped out. I was going to I went into pre-law for my undergrad, and I was going to go into law school just so that I can curl up in a corner somewhere, get the money that I wanted to fund my own life and be cool. But God interrupted that plan when I came out of undergrad and was studying for the LSATs to go into law school. And it was just a moment where he arrested me. And during that time, I was also volunteering for about 5 different nonprofits. And so once God kind of got my attention and said that law is not the direction for you, it hit me. I was continuing to seek him, but it hit me that, okay, I'm working or volunteering for all these nonprofits. There might be something to this as my life's work. So once I made the decision that nonprofit work was going to be my life's work, I went ahead and went and got my master's in public administration, nonprofit management, and that solidified the deal for me that, okay, this is what I want to do. This is my purpose. And my development, the way I got into development, that's a different story, but just the area and field of nonprofit, God kind of tricked me into it and said, no, we're not going into law. Your life is going to have purpose and meaning, and it's going to serve others. So, yeah.
That's so good.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure all of us kind of have a very similar story of, I thought I was going to do this.
This is what I was going to do, but nope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So dive in a little bit about who you are.
Yeah.
And then also how you got into development work.
Yeah. So I am Sharonda, of course. I come from Memphis, Tennessee, so I'm a Southern girl at heart, home of the best barbecue and music you'll ever find. I'll always rep the M-Town. I also come from a city of great poverty. We are still noticed, still deemed having one of the poorest zip codes in America. And so with my parents being in full-time ministry, they just celebrated 42 years of ministry, and I was a part of that before I moved to Denver. I have always had the heartbeat of the city and wanting to serve those who are broken, in need, not having the wherewithal to continue and to get from bondage to freedom. I've always had that heart. So when I moved here to Denver. Long story short on that, God just spoke to me during the year of COVID. He urged me that it was time to move. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know nobody here. How am I gonna, what am I gonna do? But I started looking for jobs, came across Open Door, and Open Door immediately resonated with me because of their mission. And once I moved, they decided to hire me. I moved, and that was pretty much my official entry point into development. The love for development, or the initial, I guess, appeal to development came when I was in my grad program, and our final class that we had was resource development, and we actually had to, as a team in the class, we had to build a nonprofit from the ground up. So a new startup, we had to come up with funding for the nonprofit. We had to develop it on the strategic end and all of that. And so that entire experience taught me that I was involved with five different nonprofits doing programming, but it hit me how much of an impact I could make if I was helping on the development and strategic side. That's when the love of development came about, and then when I came to Open Door, that's when I was able to have a concerted or concentrated effort into development.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me more about Open Door, who they are, who they work with?
Yeah. Open Door, we cater to the low income and those who are homeless. Our mission is to show mercy, build community, and make disciples for Christ in urban Denver. And we have the goal of addressing the root causes of poverty in urban Denver. So we do that by providing four different needs, or we have four different focus areas, and that's housing, outreach, services, kids and youth services, and leadership development / job training. So we definitely cater to those who are in need and broken and are just needing a hand up in order to get to where they need to go, or the next step toward their self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your role there?
I am the development director, so I handle all the aspects of fundraising. And I have a great team with me or that work with me. So I handle and manage our grant writing, our events, our communications, and then just general fundraising and development, all donor-based issues, stuff like that. So,
So during your time at Open Door, and I say this because of my own experience at Open Door and working at Open Door, can you talk about the life-on-life ministry and how you personally have seen the life-on-life ministry model play out?
Yeah, so the life-on-life ministry model is so important. I believe it's one of the best models out there when it comes to rehabilitation. We have a lot of staff members, as you know, who have come through our programs. And so I have probably the most valuable point that I've seen with Life on Life Ministry is seeing those who have been through the same issues, struggles, hardships, being able to be restored based on, you know, the practical hope that we lend and the spiritual development that we give, and then give that same thing to someone else. It's kind of like a cyclical, never-ending, you know, it's a continual giving back. And so it's beautiful. I was talking with one of my one of our staff members this past weekend, and she was just sharing with me how, you know, people think that as directors and staff that, you know, the restoration is really just on the participants and residents, which, you know, the bulk of it is. But she says that life on life model, it hits different because a lot of times it's a mirror on both ends. So the clients and participants, they're able to bring up issues that might need to be uprooted in directors. And it's literally they're doing life on life, meaning that the life of the director is being renewed, restored as they give and give of themselves to restore and renew the life of the participants. So it's been beautiful to see. We recently had a graduate. I'm sure you know Carrie. Just her story is amazing. But long story short on this, she is one who has made four different attempts to open door. And her fourth attempt, she finally was able to, you know, have the willingness in her heart to say, okay, I'm, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to go through this program because I know this is what will help me. She finally dug deep, made it through, graduated from Esther House after her 2 years, and we just celebrated her graduation mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. And now, I mean, gosh, it's just such a wonder to see her light, her eyes beam when she talks about her new spot. You know, we were able to come together as a community and purchase furniture and donate furniture and just house essentials that she needs and household items, and just the way she talks about, I have my own spot. And that coming from the beautiful example of our leaders who have stayed in the game to stick by her side, not give up on her. And it models Jesus. Jesus has clearly shown us that, man, we do him dirty so often. I mean, come on. Like, we don't deserve his love, but he will always be there when we repent. He is always there to catch us when we fall and to accept us continually with open arms. And that I love to see that being modeled in our programming at Open Door. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the beautiful, beautiful picture of what Open Door provides for people. Mm. Is this like this constant, you can stumble, you can fall.
That's
we
right.
all do it.
Yep.
Lord and knows. We will also say, you have a place here in our community. Mm. And that's really important. And that's really what's foundational for people, especially when they're walking through, you know, experiencing homelessness or even, I know a bit of Carrie's story, the stuff that she was walking through.
Yeah.
I mean, Carrie was, she was in Esther House when I was an intern.
Intern,
at Esther
yes.
House,
I was gonna say.
Which was like, I don't know, gosh, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. when I transitioned from being an intern to being a full time staff at Open Door, she then came back to the program.
Yeah.
So you
experienced her. Wow.
Yep. And then she left again, which is fine. Like, people have their own journey, and if you are not ready, then you're not ready.
That's right.
And then when I saw she graduated, I was
I know.
Oh, my
come on, heartstrings.
This girl. I love her.
Yeah.
And her story and and the stuff that she has now said, I have accomplished this. And not outside of the context, but inside the context of community.
Man.
One thing about the Life on Life ministry that I was thinking of as you were talking was how Jesus models Life on Life ministry for us, and he does it in many different capacities, but one of the most obvious is him and his disciples, right? Because Life on Life ministry means, like, I am intentionally going to intertwine and weave my life and our stories and our experiences together. And in doing so, that means that I can no longer ignore the suffering and injustice that you experience.
Living it right with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And so because I can't ignore that, then that means I have to do something.
Do something. Yep.
And that can that can look many different ways, because when we have that relationship, then we know they have communicated, hey, this is what I need. And then, like, opening up those opportunities for them.
Yes.
Not doing it for them. Life on Life ministry means I'm going to walk alongside
you
and support you in this.
That's right.
And be sure that you have those opportunities available.
Yeah, but, yep. Amen. Mm-hmm.
So.
Man, such a beautiful depiction of how we're supposed to walk alongside.
Yep.
Everyone in general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everyone that God puts in our path. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of want to switch gears here.
Yeah.
And let's talk Let's talk development.
All right.
And let's talk this, development and ministry together. I want to know what that looks like for you personally. Like, how do you mix development and the passions that you have while simultaneously doing ministry with folks who are at Open Door?
That's such a good question. So there is the stigma, and I'm glad that it's breaking, but it has been for a long time that, you know, development and ministry, that, well, I'll say this, that there is not an immediate connection between the two. Usually it's, okay, development, you're asking people for money, it's drudgery. But what I have learned being in the profession is my first step in making sure the two are integrated is that I had to change my frame of mind of what development is. And I had to learn that development is, in fact, ministry. It's not just me asking folks for money. It is me providing an opportunity for people who are stewarding their resources to exercise a spiritual discipline that God commissions us to do, which is to give. And so when I change my frame of mind like that, it really changes my outlook and the way I approach people and approach ministry and my work at Open Door, period. And personally, what I have found that has helped in my work in development and making sure that the two are integrated is that I make sure I get involved on all fronts or as much as I can. So I'm not, there are people and development professionals who remain siloed and they just do their own thing in the office, and that's cool, and that not necessarily anything wrong with that. But in order for me to be able to convey the impact, I want to be able to do that firsthand. And so kind of charge myself to do is to make sure that when there are volunteer opportunities that I can make, I do that. I am, you know, like recently I did Stillwaters Housing, which is our cohort or collective of four homes, transitional homes for women. They put on a worship night and they invited me to lead it. So I led that, and I mean, we had such a phenomenal time of prayer and worship and reflection and God. And so just different ways that I myself can volunteer and be in ministry, and it all intertwines because I'm able to then know our residents, know our clients, know their stories, and then I'm able to convey to people that I am working with who are, you know, I'm partnering with them to give of their resources. I'm able to give a firsthand account of this is what's going on, this is what's happening, and connecting the need with the resource. So, Yeah.
What are those ways in which you specifically at Open Door feel super connected to? Because you can't do it all.
There's <so kind.
laughs> Open Door has so many programs and they serve so many people.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what are those things that you're like, I feel so called to be involved in this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple of things. One, I love whenever I get a chance to do something with the family room, which is our drop-in center, and hands down, that is such a rewarding experience, not just for me, but for everyone who gets involved, because it's a time where you're able to pray for those who are homeless and on the street, give of your resources and time. So I love to participate in our Christmas giveaway every year, or any form of opportunity that I have to work with the church who comes out and helps with the family room. I'll step in and I'll volunteer by helping to serve food or serve whatever hygiene needs they have. And so that's one area in which I love to get involved in. And secondly, probably is our housing program. I work really closely with our directors because a lot of times they themselves like to, you know, have unique ways of raising support for their respective ministries and houses. And so I work a lot alongside them. And as I do, I'm able to really work with the residents as well. And, you know, I've spent time having dinners and joining them during their community dinners every night or whatnot. And I have opportunities where I'm able to really just talk with them as they share their stories and just whatever instance or event that they might have that I can volunteer. A lot of times I work late, so they might have some late and I can just pop over. That's the beauty of having your office right there on the block where all of our other homes are. You can easily access all of our programs. So those probably the main two, our housing and our family room. Those mm-hmm. are near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. So sticking in this same development ministry. I want to know, how do we change the narrative that development is not ministry?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe even how you've been able to change that narrative.
Yeah. Me personally, I have done it, and this might sound real cliche-ish or world peace-ish, but I have been able to really do it just one encounter at a time. It really is an educational awareness type of work because a lot of people don't really think about it if they don't need to, if they're not in the world. But once they, embark upon a journey of, okay, I'd like to give, that's when conversations take place and people are able to realize, okay, this is ministry. And so for me, in addition to that, I think kind of like I mentioned before, I try to be as present as possible. And I think one of the biggest realizations for me that helped me to realize that, of course, beyond scripture, I could talk about that soon, but just poignant, I guess, moving instance that I had was last year during our fall. We usually every year have an annual fall banquet, and I had to speak as the development director for that a couple of times that night, and I did a segment just kind of representing our participants and clients. And after the night ended, I had a lot of the clients come up to me. One was in tears saying, I just truly appreciated what you said, how just how you represented us. And that for me, because they were able to see at the banquet how that people in the room were giving toward their restoration, that connection for me, that meant so much to me. And also hearing from donors saying, they didn't know these certain facts. I wouldn't have been able to notice if I didn't, there are so many connections that development professionals are able to make. So I feel like on my end, I just take on the responsibility of, okay, I need to do what I can to make those connections known. Mm-hmm. And even in scripture, I love the fact that, like Mary Magdalene, Mary, Jesus's mother, Joanna, Susanna, scripture talks about how they supported Jesus's ministry with their income and earnings from business. I think that is so cool that one, they were women mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. So we already business savvy is represented in the Bible. So I love how fundraising is already, it's portrayed, not that it's, fundraising is a female thing. It's not. But I love the idea that incorporates women raising funds for Jesus's ministry because it shows that it is a work that is important and necessary in order to further the kingdom. So,
Yeah. Something that stuck out to me that you said, and I made this connection, is you cannot successfully do development. Okay. I mean, you can do development, but you cannot successfully work in development and not have a relationship with people.
At all. You cannot do it effectively. Mm-hmm. You can try, but people will be able to, they'll be able to sense your connection. And I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just, talking about the intentionality behind, I love the idea that I can walk down the street, see a resident, and know their name, and they know mine, you know, and they know what I do and how important it is. So that in itself, I mean, that always jars me. That gets to me all the time when they are able to say, "Hey, Sharonda, how you doing? Give me a hug." I mean, so that it's like they have made the connection themselves, knowing that, okay, this, whatever she does, I don't know what she does, but whatever she doing, I know it's helping me. It's helping me to stay here. It's helping me to get the help that I need toward my freedom. Just those little moments, they just open up the world for me, because it helps me to know that that connection is just, it is imperative. You have to have it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially when participants see you. You know their name, yeah. And they know your name.
Yeah.
But even more importantly, you know them. And that is unheard of. That's unheard of by, I mean, a majority of people, yeah. Regardless of, you know, unless you are the director overseeing that specific program.
Yeah.
That's kind of unheard of, because, number one, sometimes of the sensitivity of the work.
Absolutely.
But then also, it takes diligent time and effort, and even like this true, deep, like genuine love for people to actually feel known. That's a big thing, is for people to feel known.
Oof. Yeah, that is huge. And even in that, I'm praying and finding ways of, or asking God, how can I do more, you know? Because for me, the work of development is beyond the dollars, and that's one thing. If I can portray anything at the table, I want it to be known that development is ministry, because it goes beyond the dollars. It goes, it's you are doing work. You're supporting hearts, you're supporting lives, you're supporting those who are lost. Jesus went after the one who was lost. That is what culminates the development work. And so I'm even in the space now of asking God, what can I do more, you know? Yeah.
And even flip side of that, people who are the donors, people who are giving and supporting.
Yeah.
This is not a one-way street.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fund this.
That's right.
And that's like, right. I can then just kind of feel better.
Bingo.
About myself.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Development work is not just raising funds for a ministry. It's also developing the people who are giving.
That's right.
It's a discipleship piece.
Oof. On both ends. Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just talking to another development professional about this morning. It's a long game for sure, because most people, and praise God for those who have the spirit of giving. Thank you, Jesus, because they help us. That's the bread and butter. They help us to do what we do. On the same end, it's important for them to know that if you genuinely want to make an impact in this work, it does go deeper than the checkbook, deeper than, you know, the dollar bill. It is so important for the donor to really, truly understand where their dollars are going, not just by, you know, reports they get from us, but a lot of times, and what I appreciate about our donor base is there are a lot of donors who are in this same space where they know within their hearts that even beyond the dollar, they need to engage more. How can I do that? And so they're reaching out to me for opportunities, and, you know, asking about how can we engage our communities? How can, you know, I make more of a difference beyond the
That's huge.
If I can get that out of everyone, that I feel like beyond what amount they can give me, I have made a difference, because that is when they're stepping into being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are called to be generous.
Yeah.
Because our Father is generous.
100%.
And there's mandates all throughout Scripture, but specifically even in like Leviticus.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy, yeah. We're talking about like the gleaning laws.
Yes.
Oh, of like, gosh. We have to be generous.
Mm.
We have to. Yep. Like, there's no
Everyone.
Other option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's that is how, I mean, giving, period, that is how the gospel is spread. Point blank, period. That is how justice rules. That is how righteousness reigns. That is how the gospel is spread. Giving, giving of your time, giving of your money, your effort. And that's why God commissions us to give. It's imperative. Mm. And so if God leans upon your heart to give even beyond, finances, so important. They're needed. But if God is leading and he's touching a lot of hearts that, okay, there's something that I need to do beyond me just kind of having that aloof or just a separate mentality of I'm just going to give them a check and let them do whatever they want. That's when real work happens, because people are able to then genuinely see how hearts are formed, how lives are changed, how families are restored, and gosh, it makes you want to give more beyond that.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing how, once you kind of give more of yourself, God gives you the wherewithal to give more so that you can continue to give more. I mean, it's that heart of giving. You get more so that you can give more. So
yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
last question.
Yeah.
What do you want those listening to know?
Hmm. Probably that I feel like I've given like 5 closings within all that, so forgive me. I'm a PK, I'm a pastor's kid, so I'm always have a zinger or a close. But I will say that one thing that's ringing in my head right now is you can't beat God given. And that means that, similar to kind of what I said earlier, that that as you give and live a life of giving, every need that you have is met. And because we are meant to give of ourselves, and when you do so, it's like you become a conduit, a channel where God is able to flow more through you as you flow out. And you will see just the windows of heaven open as you have a mentality of giving beyond just the checkbook. It's giving your time, your talents, your wisdom, your finances, everything. And so that's what I mean by you can't be God-given. God will give beyond you giving, because as you give, he continues to give and will give through you to serve the kingdom. So, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kinsey.
I love this. You've shared so much, and I am very thankful for you.
Oh, gosh. I am so thankful for you and the work that you're doing, so keep it up. Congrats on it, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you want to learn more about the work that Sharonda does at Open Door Ministries, you can visit odmdenver.org. Subscribe today, and we'll see you soon. Justice for All is a Southeast podcast.